today is taken out of the Acts of the Apostles, the 5th, the 6th, and part of the 7th chapter. Last week I left off speaking to you where the apostles were before the council and how that Peter spake about Jesus Christ, that God the Father had risen this precious Jesus up from the dead, and that he was sitting at the right hand of the Father, and that he was the person whom they had slew and hung upon a tree, and that Peter and the apostles were witnesses of this Jesus, and that also the Holy Spirit was a witness in every heart where he had entered into. And these men, the apostles, they were filled likewise with the Spirit, and they were true witnesses, for they spake of what they had seen, and what they had heard, and what they had tasted of the Word of God. They were infallible witnesses. They were credible witnesses who were speaking here in the front of this council for the honor and for the glory of Christ. And when these men heard these words that they had slew him and hung him on a tree, they were cut to the heart. They were not pricked to the heart like those on the day of Pentecost, but they were cut to the heart. They were filled with anger and malice, and they raged within to murder these witnesses who were testifying of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here we have religious leaders, teachers of the people, who taught the people the law, and they themselves were going around to slay and to murder these apostles who were true teachers sent by God. These teachers of the law, these Pharisees and Sadducees and the rulers of the people, they should have gave an example unto the people in keeping the law. They were very strict in the outward observances of it, but here they revealed what anger and malice they had in their hearts, for they were ready to kill these apostles if they were given the liberty to do so. They were not all in this state, for we read there was one in this council by the name of Gamaliel. This man was a rabbi. He was a doctor in the law, and he was very zealous for the Jews' religion. He was a man that was very wise and prudent, and he was held in reputation by all the people. This man, Gamaliel, as you know, Paul sat at his feet and was tutored by this man. He received much wisdom from this man, who also taught others. The commentary says that even Stephen, of whom we are to speak this afternoon, was also taught at the feet of Gamaliel. And therefore Paul had such hatred towards Stephen when he was converted and when he began to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. And we find then that this man, Gamaliel, he spake unto this council and asked if they wouldn't set these apostles to one side so that he could speak to them. So they requested the apostles to go to one side, and he spake unto these in the council and said, "Ye men of Israel, be careful what ye do with these men. For there was one man by the name of Thutis who exalted himself, and 400 people followed after him, and he was taken, and he was slain, and the multitude that were with him likewise were dispersed." He speaks here of a man by the name of Thutis. There is nothing in the commentary concerning this man, or even in biblical history, but Josephus, he gives an account of a man by this name who took with him 400 men. He claimed himself to be a prophet, and he told these people to take all their goods and possessions with him, and when he came to the river Jordan, he would speak the word, and the waters would divide themselves like they did for Moses and also for Joshua. This man, Thutis, he was an impositor. The governor at that time, he sent horsemen after this man, and they took hold of him, and they beheaded him, and all his followers were dispersed. This is an account that Josephus gives of Thutis. He likewise speaks to them about a man by the name of Judas, who also had a great following in the days of the taxing. And this man likewise, with all his followers, came to naught. This Judas, he was a man that began a third sect under the Jewish people. The Jewish people had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but he started a sect called the Essenes. And these people were very strict, much stricter than the ordinary Jews. They kept the Sabbath very closely, and they did not believe in eating any meat from animals. They resorted only to a vegetable diet, and they would not mingle with other creatures. If someone of another sect even touched them, they felt that they were polluted thereby. This sect of the Essenes, you may read of also likewise in 2 Colossians. Paul speaks about them. And now this man Judas, he likewise exalted himself. He taught these people rebellion against the Romans, and he refused to pay the taxes unto them. Therefore he likewise was taken prisoner, and those that followed him were dispersed. This Gamaliel goes on to say that they should refrain from these men, because if it was of men, then it would come to naught. But that if this work was of God, they could not overthrow it, because then they would be found fighting against God. This man Gamaliel, he gave very good instruction and very good advice to this council, and we find that they all agreed to him. We see in this that God even uses natural people and the wisdom that he has given unto them to protect his people and his church. For these people that were in the council, if they had it in their power, they would have killed these apostles, and the beginning of the Christian church would in the commencement of it already come to an end. But they gave heed unto this Gamaliel. They listened to his advice. His advice is very good, my hearers, even to this day. The Spirit has given it to us on record. This man's wisdom may even be used in many cases today. Whenever a sect of religious people arise outwardly, and we find a great following going after them, it is very good to abide by what Gamaliel says, to see whether it is of men or of God. Again, it is very good if one even amongst us may be given to see the error of his or her ways, and may be given to change, and there may be outwardly something to be seen, probably, of what the Spirit does in the heart of God's people. These people that have this, they likewise should be very careful before they make a profession. It is very good to see first whether it is of yourself or whether it is of God. So many have commenced running the race towards heaven and have come to naught. And likewise, it is very good for a person even who has been wrought upon by the Spirit, who has received tokens and signs that the work truly is of God, for that person likewise to examine himself very thoroughly before they make a profession of religion. Oh, how many dear souls may be amongst me who have received many tokens and signs that this work has commenced in them, and they likewise are very much troubled, yet they cannot believe that it is the work of God. They need a witness again and again. They need a lift from heaven to believe that God has commenced this good work in them. Otherwise, they sit in darkness and in unbelief, and they cannot believe. Oh, my hearers, it is a wonderful thing if we have the work of God in us. This Gamaliel, he says, that it cannot be overthrown if the work was of God. And that is another point that is true, because where that work has commenced, regardless of what may come up against it, sin, Satan, the world, and even the person himself may be against it, he likewise will fight against this work, but he shall not overcome, because the work of God can never be overthrown. Oh, how many, my hearers, have this work begun in them and are very troubled and concerned whether it is the work of God or not. He spake likewise to them that they should leave these men alone, and they should refrain from them, lest they be found fighting against God. Fighting against God. That's our nature, my hearers, every one of us. That's the state we're born in. We're all fighting against God. You believe me? I wonder how many of you do. That's what we're doing from the day that we get our reasoning powers. We begin to fight against God. And we go on in this state. We're at war with God. We're enemies of God. We don't want no part of God or of his salvation or of his Son, Jesus Christ. You may think different. You may say, I do want it. But your life, your conversation reveals that you are fighting against God. And now, my hearers, this fight keeps going on. Even after the work of grace has begun in the person, even that person fights against God, especially in the commencement of that work, when the convictions are set home to the heart and that person is given to see the sin and the iniquity that he has committed, and he does not want to leave it. He has so much love for it. He desires to go on in it, and he tries his utmost. He'll do it twice as much, but he will find that the work of God cannot be overpowered. He's fighting against God, but God overpowers such a creature. He brings that creature down upon his knees and brings him crying and suing unto God for mercy. And that is fighting against God, my hearers. That's going on in every heart of a child of God. And it goes on, I believe, to the day that they die. Why? Because they have two natures. They have one nature, which is enmity, which is rebellion against God. And they have a new nature, a nature that wants to love God, fear God, walk with God, and talk with God. And now these two natures are opposite to each other. And we have a flesh which wants to go along with the nature that fights against God. How often we give way to this nature. How often we fall before the power of sin, of unbelief. How often we fear that the work isn't of God. And we become so weak and so frail and so helpless that we are brought down into such darkness and such depths of soul misery that we begin to think that we are enemies of God, that we never tasted anything of God. The nature that a person carries about with him is so contrary to the nature that God instills in the soul of a sinner. All my hearers, when the day of death comes, then victory shall be shouted. And you know why this takes place in the hearts of God's people? That is to prove unto them that it is of grace, and of grace only, that they ought to be saved. For God, who is so good and so kind and so merciful, he carries on this work in them against all the opposition that they raise themselves and that comes up in them. And that when they come to die and they may enter into heaven, they will sing, "Grace, grace, grace is the only reason why I am here." It will not be for anything in the creature, my hearers. This advice of Gamaliel, which I am speaking about, was very good advice. But now these people, they were so angry and they were so mad at the apostles. Did they consent to this advice? They did to a certain extent, but they still wanted to vent their anger and their malice upon them. And they took them to one side and they beat these apostles. You know, when they beat people in the olden times, they stripped them of their clothes and they took long whips, and they had blunt pieces of metal on them, and they beat these men with these whips. The apostles underwent by the hands of these people that were the rulers and the religious leaders of those times. And now we find that they spake to them and said that they should not speak any more in the name of Jesus Christ. And now what do you think about these apostles? You think they were obedient to these men that beat them? Do you think that they went away all crippled up, so sad and so discontented and all ready to lay down the work and obey these men? By no means. Oh no, we do not read that, my hearers. We do read that these were so joyful and so filled with joy because they were worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. They went away from this joyfully. Why, they were filled with faith, my hearers. They were led back to see how Jesus was treated, and they were treated the same way. And because he had been treated that way, and they were treated that way, they were glad that they could suffer in this respect for his name's sake. And we read they did not stop to cease teaching or preaching, but every day they were found in the house, in the temple, teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Oh, these men, my hearers, I admire these men. I wish we had some men like that today. We can't find them in the world today. Filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with boldness. They feared no creatures whatsoever. And they just went from these council of men and went forward fearlessly, boldly preaching Jesus Christ. They cared not what they would do to them. They loved Jesus, and they wanted sinners to be brought to love him too. And they were sent and taught and anointed by Jesus to do so. And they couldn't do anything else. And we find in the next chapter that this church, the Christian church, they likewise had trouble. There isn't a church on earth, my hearers, that don't have trouble. And even this first Christian church started to have trouble. What was their trouble? Well, we find that the Grecians, they opposed the Hebrews because they said that their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations, in the daily outgivings of money and the food and the things that were necessary to live. It appears that these Grecian widows received not the same amount as the Hebrew widows did. Now these Grecians, my hearers, they were Jews too. The reason that they're called Grecians was because one Jew was married to a Greek, and therefore they spake the Greek language. And they were Jews, but they were called Grecians. The Hebrews They were the people that were born in Judah. They were raised up under the Jewish religion. The parents, they were Jewish. They were descendants from Abraham. And they prided themselves upon this special name that they were called Hebrews. You know, Abraham, he was called a Hebrew. And therefore, the Jews that may call themselves Hebrews, they descend from Abraham. Now we have these Grecians, they raised a stir concerning the administration of all the gifts that the apostles were getting, and they weren't distributing it evenly. Whether this complaint was just or not is a question. It may be that the apostles, they were very busy men. They were teaching and preaching, and they couldn't take care of everything the way it should have been taken care of, and therefore it may have been that they were right in their complaint. But now we find the apostles, they called the assembly of the disciples together. We would call that the first congregational meeting of the first Christian church. There was a congregational meeting of all the members. They were all called together. And now the apostles, they had a plan. The plan was that they would set seven men aside to take care of this particular work, of distributing the money and everything that was needed for livelihood to those that were in circumstances that called for it. They then decided that they should pick seven men, men filled with the Holy Ghost, men that had wisdom and honesty and integrity. And these men, they should take care of this particular work. Now, the assembly, the congregation, thought that it was a very good plan. And they consented, and they appointed seven men to take care of this work. Now, here we have the appointment of seven deacons, which we go back to when we speak about the office of a deacon. We come to this chapter and say, here, the first Christian church picked seven men to be deacons. Now, you look at these men, my hearers. We only find two of these seven men, their works are recorded in Scripture. Now, that is Stephen and Philip. The other five men, we don't read of them anymore. Their names, I don't know if I could remember them. But anyway, they are not found in Scripture after this chapter. Two, Stephen and Philip. They first picked Stephen. He was a man full of faith and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you look at Stephen's life, you will find that he was not only a deacon, but he also was a preacher. That went a little further. Now some, they take from this that if a person is selected to the office of a deacon, then he also can go forward to preach. We don't agree with that. We believe that a person has to be divinely called for this office to preach the Word of God. He has to be given the Spirit of God. And inspired by that Spirit, he is sent forth, as the apostles were, to teach and to preach. Now this man, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he also preached and taught. Stephen then, he was an exception above the other seven men. For we read that Stephen, he did many miracles and many wonders. This man, Stephen, he fulfilled this office faithfully. He went from house to house where people were sick, where they were afflicted. He would perform miracles. He would make them well again. He had this gift of healing. He would spread his hands over them. He would pray unto God, and they were restored. And of course, his name and his fame was spread throughout the city of Jerusalem. Everybody was talking about Stephen because he was doing so many miracles and so many wonders. And Stephen, He also taught the people. Wherever he went, he spake to the people and told them that Jesus Christ had come into this world, and that all these sacrifices and all these offerings that the Jewish people were bringing to the temple were not necessary anymore. Because Jesus, the type and the figure of all those sacrifices, had come and had given himself, and there was no need for the people to bring any more sacrifices like they did. Now you can imagine this caused quite a stir, quite a lot of trouble among the Jewish people. They were so accustomed to coming to the temple and bringing their sacrifices, and now they were being taught it wasn't necessary anymore. And you know, in Jerusalem, there were so many sects of various kinds of Jewish people. And all these sects, they all had a synagogue, a church where they went to. According to the commentary, there was 480 synagogues in the city of Jerusalem. Just imagine that. And every synagogue had a different sect of Jews. Wherever they came from in the world, they came to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship. And when they came there, they built a little synagogue for themselves. And that is where these groups of people assembled and held worship. Now we read that there were sects of Jews called the Libertines and the Alexandrians and the Cyrenians. And they were opposed to Stephen's teaching. Stephen taught faithfully, uprightly, according to the scriptures, that Jesus had come. And at the end of all this sacrificing and giving things in the temple, that all came to an end. And of course they opposed him. And they were very zealous for their religion, the Jews. And they wouldn't go along with Stephen. They argued with him. And they spake to him about these matters. But the Spirit of God was so in Stephen that they could not resist the teachings that Stephen brought before them. They did not have a leg to stand on in English. They wanted to argue with him, but they couldn't. He upset everything that they spake about, because he spake with such a spirit of wisdom that they had nothing to say back again. Jesus Christ had promised his disciples that when the hour came that they needed it, he would give it to them. And every time we find this saying of Christ being fulfilled, here we have Stephen. He spake with a spirit that they couldn't gainsay or resist. And now because they couldn't win their point, they became angry. And they were filled with rage. And what did they do? They went about stirring up the people. They began to tell lies about Stephen. They began to say that they heard him speak slanderous words against this holy place and against God and against Moses. And that one named Jesus, why, he was going to come and he was going to destroy all these things that they had. And he was going to take all these things away that Moses had given unto them. Now, it may have been that Stephen had spoken like this, but he was telling the truth. He was faithful in this. But they wouldn't go along with it. And now they hired men. They suborned men, it says. And they got false witnesses. They paid them money and they brought them to the council. They had these men at the council first. And now they took hold of Stephen when he was alone, when he didn't have any friends with him. They came upon him like a roaring pack of lions. And they took him and they drew him before the council. This was the treatment that Stephen got. For what? For doing good. For teaching the people. For going around performing miracles and wonders. And trying to win souls for Jesus Christ. I am afraid if one of us or any minister today had to suffer them things, I think they would run as fast as they could away from the ministry. But we do not find that these men did so. No. They were gifted from God with the Holy Spirit. And Peter and Stephen was filled with faith. And they brought him before the council. And they brought these witnesses before the council. And these witnesses said that they had heard him say this and heard him say that. All lies. all false things. And now, Stephen, he was set before the council. And when they looked at this man, my hearers, something wonderful happened to him. He was filled with faith, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, but something extraordinary took place now. Oh, such a calmness, such a peacefulness came down into his soul when he stood before these people. Oh, it says here in Scripture that they looked upon him, and his face was as the face of an angel. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, he had been on the mountain 40 days, and when he came down, the people of Israel had to put a cloth in the front of his face, because the glory of God shone upon his face. You know, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, there likewise the disciples, they seen something of his glory. And now the glory of God came down into the soul of Stephen as he stood before this council. Oh, my hearers, he was just filled with the presence of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Oh, what a wonderful thing this was for him. And when these people looked at him, why, they didn't see a criminal there. They didn't see a man that would do something wrong there. Why, they looked on that man's face, and oh, heaven was on his face. And therefore the high priest, he began to speak unto him, and he said, are these things so? Is that true now, what all these witnesses brought up here? Are their words true? Are their accusations true? Stephen, go ahead, defend yourself. And then we find Stephen speaking unto this council of men. I wouldn't want to relate everything that Stephen spake about, because he begins from the history of the Jews. He begins with Abraham, how that God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and how that God brought him into a land and spake unto him and said that he would give this land unto him and to his seed. When Abraham had no child as yet, he promised Abraham that his seed would dwell in a strange country 400 years, and they would be oppressed, and they would be treated very cruelly, but that God would bring them out, and he would bring them into this land, and he would give them this land as their inheritance. He goes on speaking unto them about Abraham, about Isaac, and about Jacob, about Moses, and about Joseph. He relates to them practically the whole history of the Jewish people. He's defending himself. He brings before them what kind of people they were, what they had done, how they had rebelled against God, and how they had transgressed his laws. And my hearers, as he goes on to speak unto these people, he comes to where Solomon built the temple. And now he's watching these people. He has them as his audience, and he sees on their faces that they're getting tired of listening to him, that they're ready to jump on him. In fact, they had it in their hearts to kill him, and he's seen it on their faces. And my hearers, he begins to speak how that Solomon built this temple, but that God does not dwell in a temple made by hands. And then he speaks unto them likewise of how that they, the Jewish people, had so many signs and so many witnesses of God himself, of his goodness and of his kindness towards them, and that they likewise were of the seed of the Jews, and that they had also rebelled and done things that were contrary to the law of God. And he's speaking to them, and he brings to them home the application of his sermon. And he says unto them, ye stiff-necked of heart and uncircumcised of heart and ear, ye always do resist the Holy Ghost, even as your fathers did, so do ye. My hearers, when you read this, you would think, what's the matter with Stephen? But you must remember that Stephen was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And that when he spake this way, he spake as if God spake through him. It wasn't Stephen speaking, but it was God speaking through him. You know, we would actually want to condemn this man. Why did he want to speak like this? Why did he want to bring home such a charge to them? For this you would think inflamed them and made them angry. He said unto them, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. This is what he called them. Did not God call these people that many times? Look back in your Bible in Exodus 32 and 33. We find that these people, when Moses was leading them, that they likewise rose up against Moses. They likewise made a golden calf. And God called them himself, these Jewish people, a stiff-necked people, that they would not obey his laws and his commandments. This word stiff-necked we find quite often being applied to the Jewish people because they would not listen to God and to his prophets. They would not listen to his words or to his commandments. They continually rebelled against God. In the wilderness they stood up so many times against Moses and against God himself. Even the first wonderful thing that God did for them when he led them out of Egypt and brought them to the Red Sea, when they seen Pharaoh and his host behind them and they had no way to go, then already they began to murmur. They were a murmuring and a complaining people. They were a stiff-necked people, and they were uncircumcised of heart and uncircumcised of ears. This is what Stephen spake unto them. And ye always do resist the Holy Ghost, even as your fathers did. Their fathers had resisted the Holy Spirit speaking through the prophets who taught them of the coming of the Messiah. They resisted these prophets. And many of these prophets they even slew. And they wouldn't go along with their teaching and their words. These prophets inspired by the Holy Ghost, they resisted the teachings thereof. This charge Stephen brings home to these people in this council. And my hearers, I would like to bring this charge home to each and every one of us. Are we any different than the Jews? He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ear. Have you ever fell under that testimony? Have you ever said to yourself, that's me? I'm such a creature. I've been under the gospel so many years. God has come to me with his word through his servants. And how have I received it? I have never received it in truth and in faith. I, like the Jews, have been stiff-necked. To be obstinate, to be stubborn, to be rebellious. I have not listened to his Spirit speaking through his ministers unto me. But I went on in my sins, and I cared not what would come upon me. And this is the attitude that the Jews took towards the prophets that God sent them. Is that your attitude? You fall under it, my hearers? Oh, how many times I haven't fallen under it. God says in the prophet Jeremiah, I know that thy neck is as of an iron sinew, and that your heart is rebellious against me. You ever find yourself to be that way? If you did, you fell under it. You admitted it. You brought it before God. These people that Stephen was speaking to, they did not receive this testimony. Oh, no. He spake unto them in the name of God. And instead of receiving it, they began to look at him like daggers. Oh, they were filled with enmity. Oh, their eyes shot fire at Stephen. Oh, if they could, they would have murdered him right then and there. This Stephen, he was honest and sincere in speaking to these people and spake unto them that God had sent unto them his prophets and they had proclaimed of the coming of the Just One. But Which of these prophets have not your father persecuted and slain, who prophesied of the coming of the just one? Of whom, he says, ye have been the betrayers and the murderers. Oh, he brought home to them their guilt, their sin. They had betrayed Christ. They had murdered Christ. Oh, my hearers, their anger rose up to a fury. They were cut to the heart, the scripture says. Oh, they were not cut in their hearts. They did not fall under the ministry that Stephen spake. They did not say, oh God, we are the murderers. We are the betrayers of Jesus. No. No, they became so angry that they couldn't stand it any longer. They rushed upon this man, Stephen, who was standing before them as a servant of God. What a contrast. A man filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with faith. And here, rulers, teachers, leaders of the religious people, they filled with murder, filled with hate, filled with envy. What a difference. You see the difference, my hearers? The Spirit of Jesus. What a wonderful Spirit. Oh, had we more of that Spirit, my hearers, then we would resemble Stephen, for he looked exactly like Jesus Christ. At this present time, Stephen standing in the front of this council, of the meek, of the humble, and the quiet servant of Jesus Christ. And as he stood there, my hearers, he looked up to the heavens. And as he looked up to the heavens opened. And he see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a wonderful sight. Oh, I'm sure that this servant, he had no fear of these people that were standing in the front of him, ready to slay him, ready to murder him. Oh, he see something that we shall never see unless we are taken home to be in glory. But then we shall see something of what Stephen saw while he was yet here on earth. The heavens were opened. And he spake unto these people and said, I see the heavens open and the glory of God and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Oh, what a wonderful sight, my hearers. What a vision just before he was being made ripe to enter into heaven. Oh, he was a piece of corn that was going to fall into the ground and he was going to burst in heaven above. In that place where God was, there he would be amidst all that glory, and he would be with his Jesus. Our time is gone. I'd like to continue, but time calls me to quit. Next week, the Lord willing, we will continue on this subject. That's all for today.